guys! I am super excited! It is our 52nd episode! Yay! I'm Jen.
I'm Terry.
And welcome to the 52nd episode of Dev Heads and Hiddlesterners. We have made it through one complete cycle of the year.
Yes, the cycle.
Yes, now we have gone through some hell. Over that year, we've gone through two different co-hosts. We've gone through three different studios. We've gone through a couple of different. We've had a couple of hiatuses. We had the trial on Johnny's side. Now we've got the baby and the wedding on the Hiddleston side. Boy, this year has been friggin' packed, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, if I could have handpicked a year to start this podcast, this would have been the year.
Action-packed.
Absolutely. We've had everything. Drama, suspense, hose, chills, spills, whatever.
Chills, yes. I dare say there were some parts of it that were kind of horror.
Quite a bit. Yes. Some very intense psycho moments going on there, too.
Yes, the Medusa.
Oh, please. Medusa was misunderstood. She was cursed by Hera because because Zeus raped her in the temple. Yeah.
You were so quick with this stuff.
It's one of my things. Mythology. But yeah. Yeah. Medusa was misunderstood.
So I guess, yeah, maybe not so much Medusa, probably, I don't know, this might be a villain class all its own.
What's that?
I don't want to, the one that cannot be named.
Oh, yes.
Medusa probably wouldn't be a good correlation.
Let's see, let me think. She's probably closer to the Fates. Fucks you over and she really doesn't care what you're about.
Yep. And also will look like a crone in probably about 7 or 8 years.
What do you mean will look like? Did you see her in the friggin' what was his name? The bald dude on the spice booth. Austin Powers movie.
Yeah.
That was horrible. I expected her to put her pinky up underneath her chin and go, I mean, really, I was looking for the white cat the whole time. It was horrible.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, that was not, definitely not a good fact. This is what happens when your employees decide to strike on you because you're a complete and utter bitch.
Yes.
You know, you tend to have to dress yourself, and honey, you can't. You need help.
Please don't piss them off again.
We do not need that in our... We cannot unsee that, so please.
Thank you. Right. Please. There is no mind bleach that can make me forget this.
Absolutely not, however hard I would love to try. But yeah, right. And God, just to think, Johnny actually lived with that? Good Lord. No wonder he stayed drunk and high all the time. I think I would have, too.
Yeah. Right. Really exacerbating the situation.
Well, hell, at least maybe if I got blind drunk, I wouldn't have to see those nasty friggin' outfits.
Well, and, you know, when we're talking about the timeline that these events took place in correlation to you beginning the podcast... And us talking about it, the damage had already happened.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
years ago.
Split. Right.
Death.
Oh, yeah, and God, what a long, long ordeal this guy went through.
Man, I'm telling you.
We really did kind of catch the tail end.
Nepotism at its finest is what caused him to lose in the UK.
Yeah.
Because the judge was the uncle of the guy... Who runs the sun?
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was an impartial judge. Sure was. Yeah. I want him on my jury next time. Yeah. Yeah, if I want a hanging.
So, when did that trial in the UK end?
Let's see. Give me just a second. I can pull that up.
I mean, this is definitely before you started.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, most definitely.
You know, I mean, it really was kind of the tail end of it.
It really was. It was his last effort, and he said that a couple of times.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, the, you, we, us, we've been very good at really analyzing these two gentlemen's careers, but we did have to talk about this news because it was current events. And for that, I'm proud, actually, that, you know, we would talk about it, but we would move on. But that being said, the big story when we talked about Johnny was the trial. What would you say was the big storyline when we talked about Tom? Because, you know, the pregnancy and the engagement announcement, that's, what, the last 4 or 5 months?
We noticed the baby bump on, I believe it was June 2nd.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and really that's not, you know, terribly long ago. Would you say that the big item for Tom was the engagement and pregnancy or something else?
Yeah, I would. I would. That and just his ability to keep his private life private. All I can say is bravo, man. You have done an amazing job. You know.
Well, you know, you've done a ton of research. And when it comes down to it, it is something that should be lauded. You know, he is one of these guys that really does keep his private life private. However, he's also very accessible and approachable.
Oh, that was in 2020 that the UK case ended.
Ah, gotcha.
Yep. I'm trying to find the exact date. I'm looking. Hang on. I had it written down at one point in time. Between the 7th and 28th of July 2020 is when they went to trial in the UK. So that case only lasted 2 weeks. 3 weeks? Yeah, 3 weeks. Lasted 3 weeks. And the one here lasted what? Eight?
Yeah, 8.
Yeah.
8 in Virginia.
Yep. Shoot. So, I wish I could have gotten a bus ticket over to Fairfax, man.
Yeah.
Because that'd have been a hell of a lot better than some of those idiots they put on, you know, on the news shows. Well, you know, it's just like, you know,
right.
That's what they said, you know, and I believe him, you know, and it's just because he's right, you know. Okay, why? Yeah, they don't care. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, no, because, and I mean, that's a really good point. This podcast, this blog has dedicated itself to Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston.
Yep.
And when we really look in the last year, this kind of snapshot of this year, it really has been kind of an examination of Johnny is getting screwed. And Tom is just on the up and then up and up and up.
Yeah, he never stops. I mean, I don't think I've ever, and I mean, I've heard him say in interviews a time or two, you know, sometimes I feel like if someone asks me to take one more damn selfie, I'm going to scream. But then I smile, take the camera, and do it anyway. You know, and it just, it amazes me. I don't think I've ever seen him in a bad mood. I don't think I've ever seen him with a bad interview. I don't think, he's never attacked the paparazzi. He's never, there's just, he's very cool under fire, and he has adapted to fame very easily and quickly, and I think it's amazing.
He is cool under fire, and he has adapted to fame. And I think you can, given this last year, in a way, really see that about both of these men.
Yeah, now Johnny never has been comfortable with the fame, but yeah, I think he's a bit more at ease in his own skin now. He seems to be much more at ease with with the people coming up to him and with people wanting to be close to him and with people just wanting to be around him, and you know, with the whole fame thing, he seems like he's a lot more mellow about it now.
Right. Yes. Maturity, yes, certainly.
Yeah, I'm sending you a picture that our benefactor and erstwhile co-host has sent me. Johnny, he still looks great. He still looks good. Unfortunately, I think the stress has started to get to him. He's starting to show his age a little bit. And if I'm not mistaken, he looks like he's trying to get clean. Did you get the picture?
I did.
Okay, check it out. He looks like he's trying to get clean.
He's clean shaven. He has great color. And damn it, this guy. What a fashion icon.
I know.
Great look.
You know, that's it reminds me of when someone said that Marilyn Monroe was only sexy because of her clothing. That's when she dressed in a potato sack to prove them wrong. And she literally made a sack dress out of a potato sack and did a photo shoot in it. She's like, yeah, now tell me again how it's my clothes that make me sexy.
Right.
Yeah, Johnny is kind of like that. You can say all you want that, oh, it's the hair, it's the clothes, it's the, you know, it's the music, it's the guitar, it's the whatever. No. Baby, it's just Johnny. He is...
Right,
he carries sex appeal in his pocket.
Yeah.
And I don't give a damn.
He's a genuine dude. You know, and he is genuine. He's not trying to be sexy.
Well, yeah. And if you told... Like, when he came... when he started with 21 Jump Street. And they started, you know, spreading his picture everywhere. And they, you know, this... Calling him a sex symbol and all this stuff. Oh, it embarrassed the man so badly. He hated that term. Could not figure it out. Was like, I just don't know what you guys are talking about because that's insane. He hated seeing his picture, you know, on the magazines and stuff. But, I mean, he probably still hates it. But at least now he's old enough, he knows that he needs to use it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, yeah, he certainly figured out the game, quote unquote. You know, this guy ended up getting his fame in the 80s, and we all... Well,
yeah, when he was on the... When he was edging toward 30 is when he really came out. When he really popped up was edging toward 30.
Yeah.
And that's just crazy. So, we must thank Nicolas Cage for that one.
Oh, my God.
So, even though I do not like the man, I do not think he can act, and, you know, every part he plays sounds like every other part he plays.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did one thing right, is he got Johnny into the business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, maybe the man cannot act, but at least he knows how to spot talent.
Yeah, that was right. He can spot
talent. Yup. Unfortunately, Johnny did not get that particular, that particular deal, because obviously the talent that he's being spotted is not for public consumption. But yeah. And of course, Tom, you know, he's got the whole, and it's got to be close. we should be getting an announcement very soon about the Hiddle Baby.
Oh my God, is Hiddle Baby an actual, like, pop term?
I do not know. That was just me.
I love it.
All right, let's see if there's anything. Okay, I'm getting the same stuff that... I'm usually getting. So, yeah, there's nothing new from what I can find. Okay, so that's all the way back in June, though. Yeah, I know. Thank you. That's back in June. Yeah, okay, here's UK news. Let's see. Okay. When was this? This was October 18th. Let's see what we got. This was published August 26th. Trying to see if we've got a due date. Let's see. Yeah, the baby was not planned. It was an oops. But of course, sometimes those are the best. Sometimes, you know, those mistakes are the best things in the world.
You know, very apropos for the guy that plays the God of Mischief.
Absolutely.
You've got to ask for this with karma, Tom.
Well, Tom has been desperate for a baby. So.
Right.
You know.
It's about time. It's about time.
Yeah, he's made comments several times that, you know, he cannot wait to be a father and. Yeah. You know, I'm still looking and I'm still not seeing like a due date. Oh, wow. She looks absolutely fabulous, though.
Well, you know, we talked about how they have kept it so under wraps that, you know, it is vague up into about a.
Right, and we saw the baby bump in June. That was 4 months ago. So she is at least 6 to 7 months now.
Yeah.
Which means...
Very likely going to be a 2022 at the tail end, probably.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine that it would, you know, that she would last until January when she was showing in June.
Yeah, quite right.
But yeah, I'm still not finding due dates. So, let's see if I'm going to try one more thing, because usually my research does not fail me.
But, you know, his PR team probably has, you know, and his managers and her managers probably haven't failed them either.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. Oh, wait. Okay, hang on. Nope, I am going to have to search through some interviews and stuff. To see if maybe I can find a hint of the due date. Because I am not getting any printed material whatsoever.
I bet you don't find it.
Probably not.
Right. Yeah, their managers and handlers, they're probably being paid, you know, upwards towards $1 million.
Oh, I'm sure they're getting paid plenty You know, to keep everything under wraps. I'm just hoping that we will know when, you know, when she actually has the baby. You know, I would really hope that they do, you know, that they do make the announcement. They may not. They may try to keep it quiet as long as possible.
Yeah, I would want privacy as a first-time parent, and both of them.
Right.
This is the first child.
It's both of their first child. It's you know, and of course everybody is just dying to to see or hear or be a part of the
the birth of the baby.
All I can find out is she was approximately 3 months in June.
Okay.
So she's 7 months now. So
First
babies are either, usually they're either way early or way late. So, you know, who knows? But that is going to be one of the most beautiful children, people, human beings that ever walked this earth. I mean, look at its parents.
Yeah.
Going to be an absolutely gorgeous child.
Well, you know, and also, if you don't mind my pointing out, actors and actresses in the MCU, nobody's really having any kids. He is probably the only one, right? I mean,
at the moment,
anybody. You know.
Most of your other actors and actresses in the MCU have already had their children.
Right.
Chris Hemsworth, RDJ, Paul Bettany, Gwyneth Paltrow, they've all had their own kids.
Right.
So, and y'all have to pardon me, I am snacking down on a quesadilla from IHOP. I would suggest you get one. They are fabulous.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And new menu.
Oh, yeah, they got a new menu. Very cool. It looks really nice. A lot better than the old trifold one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the quesadillas.
Whenever we talk about the MCU and food, I know, and you and everybody in the know, including Jennifer, is going to get it, but makes me want to have shawarma. Have you ever had a shawarma?
Do you even know what shawarma is?
I do know what shawarma is. And I have never had it, and it looks freaking amazing. I know what it is, and I know it's got to be amazing. It's kind of related to gyro meat. Or hero meat.
Gyro meat is disgusting.
Huh?
It's disgusting.
Okay, yeah, so they stack it. Yeah.
it's meat cut into thin slices and roasted vertically on a rotisserie. That does not sound bad at all. But gyro meat is gross. Sorry, it's gross.
Still can't resist them. I'm all about eating it, but I don't want to know how it got to the plate.
As long as they don't tell you how it got there, huh?
That's right. Exactly. I'd like to just enjoy it. I don't want to talk about it.
Traditional street food from Lebanon. Okay, let's see. All right. Hey, I have a recipe for shawarma. How about that?
Sorry, I was drinking. Are you serious?
I do.
So this is another nationality food that you could very potentially master.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It does not look difficult at all. It's just, it's kind of like the adobo I made, which I still say it didn't cook long enough. It should have cooked for at least an hour and a half. We only let it cook for like 45 minutes, but, it didn't, that's the only thing about this is it needs to cook. You just got to let it cook. That's what makes it tender is letting it cook. So next time I come and cook adobo for you, I am going to run everyone out of the kitchen and dare y'all with, or threaten y'all with broken fingers should you try to touch the adobo before it's ready.
She will do no adobo before it's time.
That or I'll just, cook it the night before and not let y'all know it's being cooked. Wait till y'all go to bed and cook it. But yeah, I tell you what, that that blueberry habanero, oh, I've got to get some of that.
That's stocking stuffer for you.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, and like you said, I mean, you will never use that entire bottle. There's no way. But wow, that is some killer stuff.
Might put it on some shawarma meat.
Oh, and taught Carrie a very valuable lesson last week as well. I cooked, let's see, every meal that I cooked over there, I used absolutely zero salt. And Carrie, was it tasteless?
It was not. It was quite flavorful.
Yeah, tasted good, had good seasoning, and no salt, which means less high blood pressure.
Right.
Imagine that.
Right.
But yeah, it was fun. It was definitely fun. We're going to have to do that again.
Yeah.
Can't wait till I have my own kitchen. And I can get everything arranged the way I want it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Carrie, you came on board about halfway through. About halfway through the year, on a full-time basis. Now, do you remember the first time you called in and did the podcast with us?
Yeah, it was definitely one of the Night Manager episodes, one of the original.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, no, it was not. The Night Manager was the second one you were on. The very first one that you were on was a Johnny Depp FAQ.
God.
You called in briefly. You were only on for like 25 minutes.
So technically, yes. Call on, yes.
Yeah, you were, if I remember correctly, you were actually at work.
And that's true.
Yeah, that was before they moved you to the day shift. So
that being said, it was at a state university, and I'm not going to name that university because it is probably not a good idea for them to know I was doing a podcast at work.
Probably not. And as a matter of fact, that was
fine. I totally did.
That was on December 8th, 2021. Was your first ever podcast?
Wow, December.
Yep, December 8th. So you're coming up on a year of doing the podcast with us too. You actually signed on full time with me on, I believe it was April 28th. I'm wanting to say. Yep, April 28th.
Mm-hmm.
That was when Barry Titt decided to step down and. Because of other obligations and commitments, and you picked up for me.
Yeah.
I have to say, I really appreciate it. I don't know that I could have done this by myself. It's just no fun sitting around talking to yourself. I know because I do it all the time.
Well, it's a great podcast, too.
It is. It really is. And I, you know, I had someone ask me, why didn't I do something that actually mattered if I was going to be spending as much time as I do doing my research and, you know, doing the recording and uploading and, you know, this and that. And you're taking care of this, taking care of that, figuring out what to do, blah, blah, blah. Why didn't I do something that actually mattered? Well, you know what, guys? I'm sorry, but I think this does actually matter. It's support. And yes, without my support, I'm sure both men would just crumble and fall into the ground. Yeah, no. However, the more vocal the support, the better off. And yeah, that's something that's not going to change is absolute support for both guys. And the latest news, and that means you guys don't have to schlep around the internet trying to figure out what's going on, because all you gotta do is turn the podcast on, and we'll have it for you.
That's right.
And it's fun.
Yes.
It is a lot of fun, I have to say. As I'm one that, if I don't stay entertained, I'm pretty much probably gonna get bored and just, yeah, all right, I'm done. All right. But yeah, I don't see that happening anytime soon with this. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, once again, all thanks to Barry. He is the one who recommended that I do a podcast. And I had the same thought as most everybody else. What in the world would I do a podcast about? My goodness, you know. Nothing, you know, there's nothing interesting about my life that people want to hear about. And, you know, he was also the one who suggested the format. So, thank you, Barry. We appreciate you.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of important that you touch a little bit on the origins. You know, if we're doing a retrospective, we've done a full year.
Yeah.
You know, you ended up choosing Johnny Depp and Tom Hiddleston very specifically, and for a reason.
I did. Yes, I did. Number one, the Johnny Depp angle was because, I felt he was not being treated fairly, not in Hollywood, not with the handlers of his movies, not with his management team, and definitely not with the legal team in the UK. He was not being treated fairly. He was making, you know, people were making fun of him. I refuse to watch Animaniacs anymore because of that. They absolutely just blatantly, openly called Johnny Depp a liar and basically was doing a shame on you kind of thing. No, I do not watch Animaniacs anymore. And I used to love that show, so, you know. But I love Johnny Depp more. Now, with Tom, it was a bit different. He actually, there are very few actors that I hear.
Before you go into this.
Uh-huh.
Before you really kind of maybe found out about Hiddleston, were you a Marvel Cinematic Universe fan? Beforehand?
Yes. Yes. I was
so
a
you
Marvel.
Were already familiar with it.
I was a Marvel fan from the word go.
Okay. Right. And I know.
My mom owned a comic book shop. So yeah, I was very into it. And anybody who says, "Oh, I like both Marvel and DC. I like them both equally." No, you don't.
No, you don't. You have a percent. You have a 100%, then you divide it amongst the two.
And, you know, and it may be like, okay, I love Harley Quinn. I absolutely adore Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Yes, she is DC. But, yes, I love Harley Quinn, but that is one character. Just one. I love
the entire...
You know, that most all of the MCU superheroes and supervillains, I absolutely adore. So, you know, DC's got one or two that I really, really like.
Okay.
And Marvel has all of them.
Yes,
all
right.
of them. I do, you know, I always was into the Norse mythology. I have read and researched Loki and Odin and Thor and Hela and all of it.
And you know, DC kind of did it, you know, first, but they were forgettable.
Well, they did it first, but Marvel did it best.
But Marvel did it best.
Yep.
It's literally like television's Americans and the Japanese, you know, Americans
right.
may have invented it first. But Japanese, they took the technology and perfected it, and I think that's what Marvel did.
Absolutely. And the thing about, because I had seen Hiddleston in other things. I had seen him in other movies besides the Thor movies, besides the MCU. And I thought he was an absolutely amazing actor, but...
Yeah, he's...
When they told me he was playing Loki, I'm like, oh, man, you know, they were doing so well. They did the whole Robert Downey Jr. being Iron Man was perfect. They did, you know, all of this, just everything was falling into place, and now they're going to fuck it up. I could not see this tall, thin, sweet, very caring, very charismatic actor being the ruthless, narcissistic, just blatantly uncaring creature that Loki was going to have to be. I just didn't think he could pull it off. Well, he showed my ass wrong, because he did brilliantly. And to see those characters that I have read about and researched and studied on the big screen almost exactly the way I had envisioned them was... It was something else. It was absolutely brilliant. And... Then on top of that, Hiddleston is about, there's a couple others. There's Keanu Reeves. There is, let's see, Robert Downey Jr. again is one of them. The people have met and not realized who he was. And just, you know, held a conversation, sat there and talked to him. You know, and then when they finally realize who he is, they're like, oh my, he was just so nice. I mean, the story about the young lady who, she had a flat tire. And it was pouring down rain. She had AAA, so she had called, but it was going to be an hour or more before her tow truck got there. And my question was, why didn't she know how to change a damn tire? But anyway, for whatever reason, she had to call a tow truck. So she's sitting there in the rain in the car. Pretty much in the middle of nowhere, and this car pulls up behind her. And somebody gets out, and they come up, knock on the window, and they noticed her hazard lights and checked on her, asked her if she was okay, wanted to make sure that she had contacted someone. And she said, yeah, that, you know, it was just going to be a little while. She was just going to sit in the car and, you know, just chill. And the gentleman asked her, he said, I'm not trying to be pushy or be forward, but... Would you like me to sit with you until your tow truck gets here? He's like, I would feel better because I would know you were safe. And she said, well, yeah, you know, I guess that'll be okay, you know. She wasn't, you know, she took a look at this guy and he's kind of slight, he's a little thin and had pretty blue eyes and cute little smile. So she's like, yeah, sure, why not? So he sat there with her for the entire time until the tow truck got there. Waited until the driver had gotten out, introduced himself, made sure the driver was legit. And when the car was up and she was inside the tow truck for him to take her and the car, you know, for the car to be repaired, was when he left. And the tow truck driver looked at the young lady and said, wow, who, you know, okay, I know who that is, but who are you? And she said, what do you mean? You know exactly who I am. I'm the one who called you. He goes, yeah, but you must rate. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, I don't know anybody that rates, you know, one of the biggest superstars in the world to sit with them and wait on a tow truck. He said, you don't know who that was? She had no idea. When he told her, she totally flipped out.
Right.
Because he just introduced himself as, hey, I'm Tom. I'm Tom.
Yeah, he's just a guy, a nice guy.
He's great, and he's like that no matter how many hours he's been in front of the cameras, no matter how many interviews he's had to deal with or how many selfies he's had to take or how many babies he's had to kiss or how many fans he's had to meet. He's always got that smile, and he's always got his hand out to shake. And he's always got that twinkle in his eye, and he is always ready to meet his fans.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we've all seen the interviews. there's animated guys, it doesn't take a long search to see a genuine guy that's, and I know there are some drawbacks, but he's really enjoying it. He's doing it right.
And he's not afraid to make fun of himself, which I absolutely love.
Right.
I mean, he will sit there. He and Hemsworth did the Thor Loki skit on Saturday Night Live. It was incredible. That was so funny.
It was so stupid in a good way.
Oh, it was. That and you've been Loki'd.
Yep.
Riding around on the tricycle.
That's right. He went full ham.
Oh my goodness. I mean, only he could pull it off. Riding around on a tricycle. 6 foot two and riding around on a tricycle. Okay. I still don't know where his knees went. I mean, that had to have been incredibly difficult, but I mean, he just had so much fun with it. And, you know, he's never at a loss for words. He's never, I've never heard of him being irritated or short with any of his fans, no matter what time of the day or night. He's just a very, very considerate individual, and he puts his fans before his own comfort, which is, you know, you just don't see it much in Hollywood anymore.
You know, and for me, like yourself, I mean, we are people of a certain age that were very cool pretty much from the start.
Right.
You know, loved the comics. It was the comics and like fantasy and sci-fi, you know, but the comics, of course.
Right.
And I remember, you know, I read a good bit of Marvel comics. I had my Marvel comics that, you know, I am more of a DC fan, yeah. I'd say it's like a 65-35 split, but you definitely had your comics on either side that you were not going to miss.
Oh, right. Even if you had to miss every other one that month, there were two or three that you were going to scrape and put pennies and nickels together to get those.
Yeah, back in the day, I was definitely getting X-Men. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to skip, you know, the fairly good Justice League comics. I can give it up. I'm getting that X-Men.
I had to have X-Men. I had to have, Teen Titans.
Dude, right.
I had to have my Teen Titans.
Teen Titans was great back in the day.
Oh, yeah, especially with the original Starfire. Not these little anime kind of bougie kind of things that are on TV now, no. I'm talking about the original with Starfire with that gorgeous hair that took her everywhere. And it was sandy blonde, not pink.
Right. You know, or they made it all, right. It was always kind of trailing behind her, you know.
It was either a sandy blonde or a sandy brown. In the comics, it was not pink. But they did get the green eyes right. And, I mean, those were the awesome comics back then.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I remember I would look at... I'd kind of look at them all. I knew generally what I was going to buy, but I'd flip. Like, I'd spend a couple of hours in the shop, and I always remember with Marvel.
Yeah, me too.
You'd see Fantastic Thor, or Fantastic Four.
Yep.
You'd see Thor.
Uh-huh.
And there were a couple others where you're like, I really love this character, but they're not pulling it off. And I know you've got your diehard Thor fans way back in the day.
Avengers
was like that. I was like, man, I really wish I liked this comic, but they just weren't writing it well. And so you kind of fast forward it, and I already know that you're like one of these dyed in the wool where you're like, it's about the Norse mythology. This is why I'm reading Thor.
Actually, no, it is not. The comic book Thor, the comic book Odin and Loki, this is not Norse mythology, people. They took things from it. But no, this is not the Norse version. This is Stan Lee's version of the characters.
Right. It's pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, I was like, okay, I love Iron Man. When they did Iron Man, I was on board the MCU. Oh,
absolutely.
Like, as long as you guys do it like this, I'm on board. And they were, you know, they did a couple more movies, and then actually maybe one more movie, and then they were going to do the Thor movie. Loki is going to be in it, and I'm like, because when they wrote Loki, they just made him kind of a generic conniving little shit.
That's basically who Loki is, but
and at the same time, I had never, ever, ever seen Tom Hiddleston in anything. I was like, I don't even know who this guy is. And one of the most impressive feats I have ever seen in cinematic history, Tom Hiddleston completely and utterly fleshed out Loki to where you're like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to have to write Loki like that
from
now on when they do the comics. Sorry. Yeah.
And something else as well, a little bit of trivia on the Avengers movie. The original Avengers movie. The writers wanted to add a second villain into the movie. They did not think Loki was a strong enough character to fight all of the Avengers and to make it a Battle of the Ages like it needed to be to make that movie work. They were just like, it's not going to happen. Loki is not that strong a character. And then Tom stepped in and said, hold my beer and watch this.
Right.
And they pulled it off. He showed them what he could do. And he gave them some ideas for different scenes. Matter of fact, the Hulk smash scene was Hiddleston's idea. The final fight scene between Thor and Loki, I believe, who was the director on that one? Brenna? Was it Brenna? No, it wasn't Brenna.
It was an English director. Was that Brenna?
Hang on, I can tell you. Let's see. Give me one second here. Avengers. Let's see. The original, directed by Josh Whedon.
Okay.
Whedon, he's the one who gave Whedon the idea for the Thor smash, or for the Hulk smash, but at the final fight scene, Whedon's sitting there going, guys, you're not selling it. I can't get the angle right. It looks like a bunch of whiffs. I mean, this is not doing well. I don't know how we're going to sell this because it's not filming well. And Hiddleston looked at Hemsworth and said, dude, just hit me. He's like, now don't go full force or anything, but just hit me. You know, go ahead. I'm wearing all this body armor. I'm wearing all this padding. You know, we got to sell this. And that's the only way we're going to do it. We've got to actually get physical and make this real. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
That is what they did. Tom said he will never, ever ask Chris Hemsworth to hit him again. Ever.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
seriously suffering. Oh, yes. I mean, he said even when he was pulling his punches, he still just...
Yeah.
But yeah, and speaking of hitting people in the movies, the scene where Natalie Portman, she slaps Thor and then she punches Loki in the face. That scene?
Yeah.
That was
scripted.
Actually, it was scripted, but it took her, I think they said it was like 90 some odd different times that she slapped Hemsworth. And she was just tapping him. And they're like, dude, just let him have it. So she finally did, and that's the scene that's in the movie. However, with Hiddleston, she only had to punch him like twice. Because, I mean, when he walked up, she just, bam, let him have it. And he said that, first he shakes it off and looks up and goes, I like her. He said the first time she did it, She smacked him and he goes, "Fuck, that hurt." He said, "I think they're going to edit that part out, though."
She's pretty athletic.
That she is. She is not a weakling by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But, now, see, I would have loved to have seen the Black Widow take Loki on. That would have been an epic fight. And it's one that I'm not sure that Loki would win without trickery. Without his magic.
He would have to use his magic. That being said, even with the magic, if she were totally prepared, I still think that would be a good fight.
Like, oh, if she knew what to expect. If she knew what to expect and knew his abilities, you know, to split off and to clone himself into that, you know, all that kind of good stuff. If she knew about his abilities, yeah, you're right. It still would be a fantastic fight. She is amazing.
Black Widow is one of those characters where if you give her the character sheet, she's going to be like, okay, I know how to beat this guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or, yeah, and Johansson is very good about that as well. Most of the Avengers dialogue was unscripted. They focused more on the fight scenes and, you know, the action than they did the actual, than the dialogue. So most of the dialogue was unscripted.
You just let those people do their thing and let them riff.
Absolutely.
I mean, Chris Hemsworth, so clever. Fantastic. Chris Hemsworth is no muscle-bound biff.
Absolutely not. He is brilliant.
Yeah, I think he's very, very smart. Actually, I can't think of anybody, and that might be one of the keys of their success. They have not hired bumbling...
They have not hired muscle.
Stupid actors.
They have not hired muscle. They have hired brains that just happen to have muscle.
Well, yeah, they look for both, and they're like, you know what?
And they got it.
Guys that can do it, and they hired them.
Yep. I never will forget the first time I ever saw Chris Hemsworth, though. The first time I ever saw him, he was on an episode of iCarly.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
And the girls...
We've talked about iCarly before.
The girls were looking for an intern and turned down Freddie's amazingly smart friend in favor of this thick, muscular, dumb as a stump, beautiful guy.
Was he Australian in the episode, or did he do the American accent?
I don't remember. I think he did have a slight accent.
You're like, I was just watching.
Dude, I'm serious. I couldn't get past the muscles in the eyes.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know what he said.
remember Jeanette McCurdy had from what I'm hearing, still has a lifelong crush from that episode. So, it's Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, that's probably useless trivia because almost every woman comes across him is like, oh my God.
I told you, he is so rock solid from his head to his feet, except for that cute little fluffy ass.
Yeah.
I still say he needs a bite mark right over his hip. Yeah, I can volunteer for that. I can take care of that for you, right quick, like, you know. Well, maybe not too quick, but.
You know what? I will actually go as far as to say they've done really great with some of these Marvel movies are legit funny. There's always good, funny moments in these movies.
Chris Hemsworth is one of the best comedians.
What?
Yes!
Best. Him and Downey Jr. would be a great battle.
Oh, and now that would be funny.
Rudd. And Paul Rudd, Ant-Man was great.
Paul Bettany. Got to put Paul Bettany in there.
Well, for comedy?
Yeah.
Well, comedy in the movies.
That's what I'm saying. Paul Bettany is a funny guy. He's just very understated.
Do you have an example?
Have you ever seen Mordecai?
Well, no, I mean like in the MCU.
Okay, not in the MCU movies. But yeah, however, if you listen to Jarvis when he's basically telling Tony to go suck a big one, it is great. I mean, you know, he's like, of course, it's not, no, sir, that's not going to, I told you it wasn't going to work, sir. I mean, oh, yeah.
That being said, I would be remiss, and I'm going to mention it one more time. I'm not a particular, I mean, I like the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, don't get me wrong, but they are some of the funniest Marvel movies. And Chris Pratt, of course, we all know him, but Dave Bautista as Drax is the funniest. He's the best comedic character in the MCU.
He is. You are right. Drax is just, he's great, and he's so funny because he appears that he's not trying to be funny, which is what makes it so damn funny.
Yeah, remember when they bought Thor onto the ship and Star-Lord was like, who is this dude? And Drax is like, this is not a dude. You're a dude. This is a man. What was it? It's like an angel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
An angel or something that had a baby. It's like, what?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, and Hemsworth, you know, Hiddleston's got that sense of humor. Hemsworth, they all really do.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the great success of the MCU, you have got to put anywhere from a third to a half of it is on the casting.
Well, and yeah, and
story, special effects, they cast it perfectly. Hiddleston.
And they did such a great job in finding these down-to-earth, very in-touch actors and actresses. That's what just floored me, because the entire cast of the MCU, they're all very down-to-earth. They're all, you know, they all understand that we're only human, and they don't think themselves above anyone else, and they don't feel like they are better than anyone else, and it shows in the way that they can goof off and laugh at themselves and cut up betwixt them and make a great friggin' movie. Now, Johnny Depp does the same thing. He does in several of his movies. It's very understated because he is not given near the leeway as the MCU characters were. You know, he has a script and they pretty much want him to stick to it. But, yeah, there's still a lot of humor if you pay attention. And he is from what Gwyneth Paltrow had said about doing Mordecai. She said she will never work with Johnny Depp and Paul Bettany together again, ever. She said they had her laughing so hard she peed her pants. Literally. She peed her pants laughing. So, yeah. But Depp, in several of Johnny Depp's movies, the humor is apparent. Of course, you've got Benny and June and things like that. But even if you go into, say, Sleepy Hollow, there are several scenes that are just absolutely hilarious. You know, it's just, and it's all a matter of understating the humor. Is what they do.
Yeah, natural.
Oh yeah, and Johnny is one of those consummate actors that plays his roles to the hilt. You know, so when he is Ichabod Crane, he is a pompous, stuffy, scientific, knows everything scientist. You know.
Yeah.
And there's humor in that, and he knows how to bring it out, and it's great.
Yeah, yeah,
in a
awareness.
I'm trying to think. The scene in Sleepy Hollow where they give him the horse, the one that he eventually rescued, by the way.
Yeah.
Poor old one-eyed horse. And Johnny's trying to mount the horse on the wrong side. Anybody who's ridden a horse knows you mount from the left side. Always. I don't know why, but that's you mount on the left side. Always. It's how humans are trained. It's how the horses are trained. You don't mount from the right side. You just don't. And he's trying to get on the horse from the right side. And the horse is like walking around in circles trying to get Johnny off his back because that's not the right way to do things. And, you know, it's like he's following along in circles around this horse trying to get in the saddle. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. We can do this now. We can do. I got it. We can do this. And then I came to find out none of that was intentional. He really didn't know how to ride a horse.
It did look so natural.
It was. And I mean, come on, Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp. You would assume he would know how to ride a horse. But no,
yeah.
No, not at all. He said Christopher Walken scared the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Filming that movie.
Yeah, I imagine. Oh. He was freaking terrifying. So.
He's freaking terrifying when he's just normal.
Right.
but yeah, and of course the Pirates movies are very funny. Bunches of different places. Oh, the scene where he's got the jar of dirt. And he's walking across the ship's deck, and he slips and falls
and
pops back up and goes, I got a jar of dirt. I got a jar of dirt. That was completely unscripted. He slipped. He fell. He jumped up. He did the I got a jar of dirt thing. And if you watch the other actors, if you watch Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, they're looking at each other and at the director going, what the fuck? They had no idea. Those looks on their faces, like, oh my God, what the hell is going on? Those are real. They had no clue. It just worked so well, they left in the movie.
Wow. Sure.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, half of Johnny's lines in the Pirates movies are unscripted. He just pops off with stuff that comes to his head, and it works.
Yeah.
But I do wish they would give him a little bit more leeway, with some of his roles, because yeah, there's some that I thought were the best that they ever could be. And then there's other roles that he's done that I'm sitting there going, wow, he could have done that so much better if they had just left him alone and let him do it. You know?
Yeah.
But, that's why he took over the Jack Sparrow character as fully as he did.
Yeah, you gotta let them run with it.
Well, he wanted...
Yeah, just like with Hiddleston and Loki.
Right. Well, he wanted Jack Sparrow to have more gold teeth. He thought that the pirate would have more gold teeth. So, instead of asking them to give him more gold teeth, he went to his dentist and had more gold teeth put in. Had more gold bridges put in. And so when they bitched about it and said it was too much, he had a couple of them removed, and Jack Sparrow ended up having the exact number of gold teeth that Johnny thought he should have to begin with. Now, if that's not playing your crowd, I don't know what is.
For sure.
But yeah.
Fun episode.
Absolutely. And yeah, we're running a little bit over on time. Guys, next week is going to be our big, and I think we're going to do a 2-hour. If we can work it into your schedule, my dear. I would really love, and I'm going to try to get Faye to pop in maybe, and so we can say hi to her. I'm going to try to get Barry to pop in, you know, couple of different things. But, yeah, we're going to do a whole 2 hour, just kind of a year in the life kind of deal. I want to go over some of the podcasts we've done. I want to go over some of the movies and shows and stuff that we might want to do. So if anybody has any suggestions, if anybody would like to hear about a certain podcast, would like to hear more about a certain movie or episode that we've done, you know, let us know.
We have the research.
Absolutely.
There's always more we can talk about each of these individuals.
Oh my goodness, yes. Quite a few of these I could pretty much just verbatim tell you word for word.
But right. And extrapolate.
Oh, absolutely. I could probably even go so far as to give you the motivations behind, you know, the different characters and the different scenes and, you know, the history. And yeah, I'm a little obsessed. It's okay. At least it's not harmful. At least it's not harmful. But anyway, give us a call, guys. Day or night. The phone is going to be on. We may not answer because, unfortunately, we actually do have lives outside of the podcast. However, you know, however much we would like to not have that happen, we do actually have to work and sleep and all that kind of good stuff. So,
if during the weekdays, you can call between 6 and 11 Central and Eastern Time.
Oh, absolutely not. You, if you want us to answer, you will. But
right. Hey, I would totally pick up.
But hey, if you just want to call, leave us a message, leave us a name and phone number. We'll try to and a time zone. Let us know where you're at,
oh, that's
so we don't call you at 3 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, we will definitely give you a call back. That phone number is 765-681-7313. 765-681-7313. And then, of course, we've got the email, which nobody ever uses, devheadsandhiddlesterners@yahoo.com. The blog, devheadsandhiddlesterners.com. We're on Facebook. Sometimes we're on Instagram. And, yeah, get in touch with us. Let us know what you think. We're going to be doing this for a long time because I don't care if nobody listens. I'm still going to be doing it. Because eventually, somebody will. But,
It is dedication to the craft.
It absolutely is. It's dedication to the craft. It's dedication to the guys. It's dedication to the art itself. And we just want to make sure everybody knows how much we appreciate everything. And so, guys, for 1 year, thanks for listening. We certainly appreciate you, and I hope y'all had as much fun listening as we had recording. But give us a call and come back and see us next week for the 1 year, 2 hour anniversary special. Anything else, Carrie?
No, and I was about to say, so at the close, in the mighty marble fashion, an epilogue, and so the cycle comes to an end.
Oh, but every ending is another beginning. Absolutely. And hey, anyway, shout out to my girl Angela. You probably will never hear this, baby doll, but just in case you do, baby, I love you. I got you covered, baby. Anything you need, you holler. And Carrie's already asked who he has to come down and kill for you, so.
Some guys like Russian lobsters, but they're not.
Dude, it is so too bad when we don't still have the Auburn crew together. We get Dustin, John, Little John, you, me, David, Eric.
Well, there's the other John too. John with the glasses.
Yeah, I was talking about John C.
I was talking about John G.
Oh!
Yeah, John G, the kind of strong and really intellectual guy that you're like, would he do this, and do we need to reel him in if he does?
Yeah, really. Yeah, him. Yeah. Get Eric on board.
Oh, jeez.
Man. Talk about a white knight. Angie wouldn't know what hit her. Anyway, I love you, baby girl. You take care, and I will see you guys next week. Thanks again for a full year. Peace and love, baby.
Love and peace.
Bye.